Welcome to D&B College. Today we're building what I call an old-school method edit, a top loop route from scratch in Ableton Live 12. This is an advanced D&B workflow, and the goal is simple. We're not trying to make a random atmospheric layer. We're building a purposeful DJ tool that carries tension, motion, and grit without stepping on the kick, the sub, or the main drop. This kind of loop lives in the atmosphere lane, but it's much more than pad design. In jungle, dark rollers, liquid with edge, or old-school influenced modern D&B, the top loop is often the thing that makes a section feel alive while the low end stays disciplined. It gives you movement without full melodic commitment. It keeps energy in the upper spectrum and still leaves space where it matters most. So the mindset here is not, how do I make this sound huge? It's, how do I make this move the arrangement forward? Start with a source that already has some life in it. Not a static pad if you can avoid it. Look for a dusty break top, a vinyl noise phrase, an old synth stab tail, a field recording with rhythm in it, or a resampled atmosphere that already flickers a little. Drop that onto an audio track and trim it down to one or two bars maximum. If the sample has too much low end, get rid of it immediately. Put auto filter on it and high pass around 180 to 300 Hz to start. If it's thick or cloudy, push the cutoff higher until the loop stops fighting the kick and sub. In darker tracks, I often want this layer to sit above the snare body, not inside it. What to listen for here is movement. If the sample has a bit of hiss, transient grit, or internal flicker, that's a good sign. If it sounds dead when it loops, don't force it. Find a source with more attitude. Now, instead of just looping it, slice it to MIDI. In Ableton, right-click the audio and use Slice to New MIDI Track. For break-derived material, slice by transients. For a washier atmosphere, you can slice by grid and then clean it up manually. This is where the old-school method edit really starts. You're turning a texture into a playable groove. Don't use every slice. Keep the strongest ones. Strip it down to maybe 6 to 12 useful hits. Remove weak tails. Repeat a couple of slices for momentum. Leave a hole or two for breathing room. That negative space is important. Why this works in D&B is because top loop edits feel best when they lock into the snare grid and the ghost energy around it. A straight loop can be static. A rephrased slice pattern can feel like it's talking to the drums. That's the difference between looped ambience and a real tension route. At this point, choose your lane. You can go break-driven or wash-driven. If you go break-driven, use a chopped break top or noisy percussion source. Keep the transients visible and the rhythm a little more syncopated. That works especially well for jungle, old school, and harder rollers. If you go wash-driven, use a pad tail, tape hiss, reversed ambience, or a more granular texture. Let the slices overlap a little more. Use filtering and fades to create drifting motion. That's great for darker intros and cinematic tension beds. Either route can work, but make the decision early. A top loop route should land cleanly on phrase boundaries, usually in a 4, 8, or 16 bar structure. If it resets badly, the whole section loses power. Now shape the pocket with the MIDI, not just with processing. This is where a lot of producers miss the feel. Nudge certain slices slightly early or slightly late, not wildly. Just enough to sit in the pocket. A few hits can sit 5 to 15 milliseconds late if the loop needs to relax. A sharper hit can go slightly early if it should flick ahead of the snare. Keep your main anchor on the grid, then let the supporting hits breathe around it. What to listen for here is whether the loop starts helping the drums or fighting them. If it makes the break feel rushed, it's too busy or too early. If it feels flat, you probably need one or two anticipatory hits before the snare. Once the groove is there, build a simple stock chain. A really solid starting point is auto filter, saturator, drum bus, and utility. That's enough to take a raw chopped source and make it feel like a real D&B component. Auto filter clears out junk low end and gives you a way to animate the loop. Saturator adds density so the slices read on smaller systems. Drum bus gives it a bit of bite and glue without you having to lean on heavy compression. Utility keeps stereo under control and gives you a fast mono check. A useful starting setup is a high pass somewhere around 180 to 350 Hz on the filter, moderate drive on the saturator, and only a light touch on drum bus. Be careful with the boon control on drum bus for this kind of source. Usually you don't want extra low-end emphasis here. And for utility, keep the width somewhere between 70 and 100% depending on how much side texture is actually useful. The key is not to overcook it. In D&B, top loops can destroy clarity fast if they get too bright, too wide, or too compressed. Texture, yes. Destruction, not yet. Then add motion with automation. A broad filter move over 8 or 16 bars works really well. Start murky, somewhere around 250 to 500 Hz on the cutoff if you want a darker intro state. Then open it gradually toward 2 to 8K Hz as the drop approaches. If you want a stronger impact, pull it back slightly on the bar right before the drop. That little inhale can make the drop land harder. You can also automate a tiny bit of saturator drive, maybe 1 or 2 dB for lift, or narrow the width in the intro and open it slightly before the drop. These are small moves, but they change the feel of the arrangement. The loop starts behaving like a proper section element instead of a static texture. What to listen for now is whether the sweep feels musical. If the transition is obvious but the loop still has character at lower cutoff positions, that's a good sign. If it disappears completely, your source depends too much on the highs and needs a more resilient sample. When the loop is working, resample it. This is a big move. Print it to a fresh audio track. Don't keep endlessly stacking devices just because you can. Commit the sound. That's where it starts becoming a record-ready edit rather than a live experiment. Once it's printed, chop the best one bar or two bar phrase, reverse one slice for tension if needed, and use fades to smooth clicks. You can also make a second version with one or two slice placements changed. That gives you variation later without having to rebuild the whole chain. This is one of the best habits for old school style work. Print the raw chopped version, print a filtered version, then print the best groove version. Those three stages give you options. And honestly, versioning saves you from over-editing the best idea into something vague. Now bring in your drums and bass. This is the real test. Soloing is useful for cleanup, but the final judgment has to happen in context. What to listen for here is simple. Does the top loop leave room for the snare crack? Does it reinforce the break top instead of masking it? Does it create forward motion without shrinking the bass line? And most importantly, does it still work in mono? Use utility to mono check the loop. If it collapses badly, the stereo image is too facey or too dependent on width. Narrow it down or make a center-safe version. If the snare starts losing authority, carve a little around 2 to 5 kHz. If the loop feels dull but the snare is fine, add a bit of high shelf or a little more saturator drive. If the bass feels blurred, the loop is probably carrying too much low-mid energy around 200 to 500 Hz. That context check is where the edit becomes usable in a real track. From there, think like an arranger, not just a loop maker. Build a shape that works like a DJ tool, maybe 8 bars of sparse intro texture, then 8 bars where the loop opens up, then 4 bars of tension, then the drop. A really good old school move is to let the top loop answer the drums in the last 2 bars before the drop, then cut it hard on the drop one. That negative space makes the impact hit harder. You can also bring the loop back in the second half of the drop with one slice removed or one tail reversed. That gives the section evolution without changing the identity of the tune. That's the kind of detail that makes a track feel authored. A strong quality control mindset helps a lot here. Check the loop at the point where the snare is most exposed. If it blurs the snare there, it's not ready. Don't let loudness fool you either. If the loop only sounds exciting because it's loud, turn it down and see whether the rhythm still stands on its own. If it only works in the intro, but kills the drop impact, it probably has too much 2 to 5 kHz energy or too much width. If the loop feels too clean, resample it through a little deliberate degradation. Slightly more drive, a narrower bandwidth, or a bit of transient reduction can make it sit much more naturally in an underground DNB context. Sometimes the dirtier print is the better record. And remember, the biggest mistake is treating this like sound design instead of arrangement. The real question is not, does this loop sound cool? It's, does this help the tune move while leaving the drop intact? A strong top loop route should feel like it's doing a job. It should be rhythmic in mono, clear around the snare, and tense without trying to become the lead. If you can remove it and the section loses intentionality without falling apart, then it's doing exactly what it should. So here's the recap. Start with a source that already has movement. Slice it into MIDI so you can rephrase it like a drum part. Shape the pocket with the notes, not just the effects. Use a simple stock chain to filter, saturate, and stabilize it. Automate it in a section-aware way. Resample once it works. Then test it hard against drums and bass, especially in mono. Keep the low end clean. Keep the stereo disciplined and let the arrangement tell the story. Now take that into the practice exercise. Build one 8-bar old-school top loop route using one source, no more than 4 stock Ableton devices, and make one centered version and one wider version. Then print a second variation with a different chop or reverse slice. Keep it under 2 bars before resampling, and make sure it still feels rhythmic over drums and bass. Do that, and you won't just have a cool texture, you'll have a real DNB tension tool that can carry an intro, shape a breakdown, and make a drop feel more powerful. That's the move.